Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
We'll just read for the second Sunday in Advent. It's from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat the straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Then shall not hurt, or they shall not hurt or destroy any of my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall all the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from Romans chapter 15. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another and accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of the Lord. For I tell you that the Christ became a servant to the circumcised, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when I was much younger, middle school age, I'm guessing, there was this wonderful commercial I got to see about Christmas time. It's a nice one. It kind of stuck out a little bit. You have this dog who comes in from one side of the room and plops right in front of the fireplace. And all of a sudden, you see the house cat come as well and nuzzle right next to the dog. Then all of a sudden you see this mouse scurrying across the floor, and I thought I was about ready to run. But there it goes and nuzzles right next to the cat and the dog, lying side by side. And you see this little girl, 5 years old, I'm guessing. She's looking through the door and she sees them laying side by side, and she is smiling. The last scene of this commercial cuts to these three animals looking up at the Christmas tree, and on the screen you see peace on earth, the sound of Christmas music. No one's afraid, and there's no fights going on, just resting together before the Christmas tree. Peace on earth. Ah, wonderful. You know, Isaiah pictures something very similar just to that commercial. See, animals that would normally be enemies to each other would no longer fight each other. Instead, they would rest and eat together. That leopard who was eyeing that goat now plays with it. That wolf who's snarling around the lamb is just playing a game. No longer will you hear lions and tigers or bears, oh my! Together, they'll eat grass in the pasture with the cows. And no single cow will get skittish from them being there. Enemies in the animal world will be over. And instead of fighting, they become friends, living together in perfect harmony. And you see a child starting to walk, playing with a rattlesnake. And this rattlesnake is making a sound, though not to warn the child to stay away, but finding enjoyment and company with this little child. I mean, no worries, no fighting, no harm, no danger, no threat. Not even from a timber rattlesnake here in our state. It'll be peace on earth. That's what it is. And this picture is beautiful. The weakest and the most vulnerable will be safe and secure. No one will get hurt. No one will be in harm's way. There'll be no more justice, no more injustice, no more wars, no more enemies, no more fighting, just living together in harmony as it once was there in the Garden of Eden. Now, of course, you and I know that not to be true right now. Our world isn't like that. We have wolves that prey on the weak. We have television shows where people talk about lions, tigers, and bears and how ferocious they can be. We even have a fun show that I love to watch. It's called I Was Prey. And you hear the accounts of people talking about how they survived being hunted down as if they were prey out in the wild. Yeah, I think about what my sister told me what was this? It had to be, oh, last summer. My sister has a bunch of chickens. Here's the first clue. She had a bunch of chickens. Her husband, Mike, built a nice coop with a nice warming light, an easy way to get the eggs without disturbing the hens. Even built this nice, big, tall fence, even with a top over it, to make sure that nothing got in, no hawks, no eagles, nothing would attack these chickens. Now, we're talking about a fence where, you know, you got the holes are about maybe this big. And one night changed everything. One night, this weasel came in and slaughtered three hens before it ran out, leaving behind a scene out of a horror movie. And because that one event took place in that coop, not a single chicken returns to that spot. They don't roost in that coop anymore. It has been cleaned, it's been dealt with, it's been painted and made new, but they won't go in it. Instead, to my sister's, well, grief, actually, they're roosting in her crabapple tree or in the garage on top of her car because it's safer than being in the coop where they lost their sense of peace. But it's not just the animal world where we encounter this, where peace seems to be something that's missing in action from our lives. You look at the world around you, you see on the news, terrorism is not going away. We have reports of people getting attacked in the streets, in the cities, for no reason. Drugs are found rampant across our country. People are losing their lives to these harsh drugs. Violence and gangs are taking over in our cities. I remember one going through St. Louis in my last year at seminary. It's amazing to know that peace is being robbed. Especially when we have people selling people as if they are a commodity. Human trafficking taking place across our nation, even in our own state. The peace that we want is disappearing. And the peace we want in our minds and our own hearts is eluding us just the same. Where we listen to the news and see people struggling to afford basic items. We see people struggling to get by. Prices are rising left and right. Jobs are disappearing because it's easier to use AI technology than it is to pay a worker's wage. And you don't believe me? Look what Amazon did just a month ago. We have stores closing across our nation because the future of our economy is uncertain. That safety and that security that we truly desire, it's disappearing before our very eyes. You know, in Isaiah's picture, we have a little child playing with a snake without fear. But in the world that we live in, that peace on earth that we so desire, it seems as far away and as distant as that night thousands of years ago when the angels sang out on a lonely hillside to shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And yet, that angelic song, sung of the birth of Christ, has it right. That peace on earth has to start somewhere. It did, there in Bethlehem, long ago, where true peace arrived in the birth of a little child, born humble and vulnerable. Isaiah's prophecy is written hundreds of years before his birth, describing what the nation of Judah has become. A tree chopped down to the stump. A nation destroyed from the inside out because they are rebelling against God, chasing after idols. And now foreign powers come to take control and have. And will. And unfortunately, the people of God at this time will go into exile. They'll be taken away from their homes, from their security, from their peace. This nation looked dead. It looked like a stump. But God had promised that a Messiah would come. And he would. And that this Messiah would be called the Prince of Peace. However, in this prophecy, the glory of King David is not mentioned. The time of Israel at the pinnacle of height of its power and its prestige, the golden age, is not the heart of this message. See, Isaiah goes back to David's early family when they were just lowly shepherds scraping by in Bethlehem. He goes back to King David's father, Jesse. See, Jesse is named to show that this king, the savior of the nations, would come and he'll be born of humble surroundings. And indeed, he was. Mary and Joseph are not famous people. Joseph is a carpenter. Mary, his wife. And they work to get by, to take care of each other, to raise a family. And Jesus, he's not born in a palace. He's not born with servants at him, waiting at him feet, night and day. He was born in a manger of all places. And then he grows up in a small fishing village, surrounded by hardworking people, not in a capital city. But yet he is the shoot out of that stump who will bring peace on the earth. He has the wisdom and the counsel, the knowledge and might to bring true peace. Isaiah says that his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Not one out of fear as a lamb before the wolf, but one out of reverence and total submission to his Father's will. For every breath he takes is due to just what the Heavenly Father has sent him to do. And what has our Lord come to do? What has he come to accomplish? He has come to bring peace, to bring justice, to come in all faithfulness, and to do what was right for you and for me, for all creation. And what was right was to make peace between God and us. See, God's wisdom and his counsel was a cross. His death would take care of whatever anger and hostility God had against us because of our open rebellion, because of our sinful nature. We call it forgiveness, but we can also call it peace. I mean, listen to what Paul writes here in Colossians chapter 1. For in him, being Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Did you catch what's included? All things. Animals and people alike are included in God's wise plan to bring peace to this scary world where violence and hate are destroyed and destroy the peace that we come to desire day in and day out. And that day it came. And it came that day when peace flowed from Jesus to his first followers. He rose from the dead. The violence that he took on the cross has been undone. On that first Easter morning, his disciples were locked themselves in the upper room out of fear of being hurt and hunted down. But as these frightened disciples, as they're sitting there, they see him before their eyes, alive and breathing, standing in their midst. And he greets them with a powerful word, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And with that true peace that Jesus brought into the world, began to spread throughout wherever the disciples went. The disciples took it as they went out and spread the word of the gospel further and further out from Jerusalem and Judea, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. But let's not just stop at the disciples. And Jesus is the shoot that comes out of that stump. He supports the branches and the leaves wherever his followers might be, no matter what year, what city, or what continent you're on. Those who claim to be part of the church, claim to be Christians, are called to bring peace into this world wherever they go. Now here, think back a little bit. Does anybody remember the presidential race of 2008? Kind of, somewhat? Well, there was a wonderful interview that was conducted between Time Magazine and our candidate, John McCain, asking about his personal journey of faith. If you recall, John McCain is a Vietnam vet. He was also a prisoner of war. Where he talked about nights where he would be tied with ropes, sometimes tied with his head between his knees. I will not do that because I feel like standing and finishing the rest of the service. But he was in agony, sheer torture. However, one night, this guard came over to him and loosened the ropes, able to stretch and fully stretch out his back without any pain or worry or fear. But come in the morning, that guard tightened his ropes once more, making sure that nobody caught what took place. However, a few weeks later, come that Christmas day, something amazing took place. The same guard came to him in the courtyard of the camp, and he untightened his ropes once more. They didn't say anything. They didn't look each other in the eyes. This guard, in the dirt, takes his foot and draws a cross. These two men looked down at the cross, and a wordless conversation that said everything. See, our eyes do not yet see the wolf with the lamb. But the little child who came at Christmas has brought peace and a whole new age with him. Do you see how it works? One disciple brings Jesus' peace to someone or someplace that desperately needs it. Not necessarily by taking away the pain or the violence, but by bringing Christ to them. So where can you bring peace in this world? How about sharing a meal, a visit with someone? How about contributing to a Christian organization that provides safe haven for abused children, battered women, those dealing with abortion, and those recovering from being trafficked? How about a bag of groceries donated to the food pantry for those in need? How about visiting the hospital, the nursing home where many of our members now reside, and sharing with them a devotion, either from the Bible or from the importance of prayer or from the Advent devotion that we handed out? How about supporting laws to protect the animals? Because animals too will also share in the peace that Jesus will bring to this earth on that last day. Yes, that last day when Isaiah's prophecy is completely and totally fulfilled. On that last day, animals will lie down together in peace and harmony. The world will be right once more. No more hurt, no more violence, no more wars. It will be peace on earth, just like it was in the garden. But until that day comes, you and I, we are the branches and the leaves that grow out of that shoot called Jesus. We are the instruments of peace for the Prince of Peace. So humble, so small, and usually without any fanfare. What we can do is bring Jesus' peace to a world desperately craving it, day in and day out. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.